Jackson does it. Indiana State. Sycamores advancing to the semifinals of the NIT next week with an 85-81 win over Cincinnati.
And good for Indiana State. They should have been probably in the tournament of all the bubble teams. That's the one that I felt sorry for because they don't have the opportunities that the Power 5 or Power 6 conferences have, such as a Villanova or a K-State or Oklahoma that were left out of the tournament, or a Providence and or Ohio State. And so Indiana State moves on to NIT semifinals, beating Cincinnati. Cincinnati 22-15, Indiana State 31-6. And they'll face the winner of tonight's semifinal between VCU and Utah at 8 o'clock. And then, let's see, also last night, Georgia beat Ohio State to get to the semis in Indianapolis. They'll play the winner of UNLV at Seton Hall, which is 6 o'clock tonight. Welcome to Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Your home for fast-friendly auto repair. We throw it to Dusty for some local sports information.
Yes, we did have an area athlete yesterday that signed a letter of intent to play at the collegiate level in basketball, and that is Dakota Kattenberg, the senior from Smith Center, is signing a letter of intent and did sign a letter of intent yesterday to play basketball at Tabor College in Hillsboro. Had a stellar career at Smith Center and named all Mid-Continent League selection each of the past three seasons. A first team pick this year, second team as a junior, third team as a sophomore. Helped lead Smith Center to a 17-6 record and sub-state runner-up finish this past season. Again, had a great season for the Lady Red. She averaged this year 16.5 points a game by the end of the year for Smith Center, and 8 rebounds per contest, and shot 51% from the floor. And also 70% at the free throw line this year for Smith Center. She helped lead the Lady Red to a solid season, a sub-state runner-up finish, and will be playing her college basketball at Tabor College. I'll have a full story. I wanted to get some updated stats before I posted the story there at ncksports.com. So coming up here after the show, we'll have that full story posted there at the website at ncksports.com. Congratulations to Dakota Kattenberg of Smith Center signing her letter of intent at Tabor yesterday. So. Spring sports season kind of limping here at the start of it due to the inclement winter weather over the last couple days. So most of everything that was scheduled for early this week has been postponed. So we hope to get things going back up with spring sports tomorrow. You can find spring sports schedules for all your favorite teams. Again, all posted at ncksports.com.
All right. Kentucky's John Calipari will return as coach of the Kentucky Wildcats next season, which I figured he would. Yeah. There'd be a $34 million buyout, although some people said they could probably come up with the money. But anyway, Kentucky Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart announced yesterday that Calipari would return for a 16th season with the program after an annual exit meeting between the two sides. As we normally do at the end of every season, Coach Cal and I have had conversations about the direction of our men's basketball program. I can confirm that he will return for his 16th season as our head coach. The Wildcats failed to reach the second weekend of the NCAA tournament for the third straight season. Kentucky missed the tournament in 2021, lost to St. Peter's in the first round in 2022, lost to K-State in the second round last year, and then this year, of course, lost to a 14th seed in Oakland. Okay, so the KU and K-State men are eliminated. The KU K-State women have been eliminated. Basketball season's over in the state of Kansas, correct? Wrong.
Not correct.
The Hutchinson Community College Blue Dragon men, the 11th seed in the National Junior College Division I Men's Basketball Tournament, they upset the 6th seed, Chipola. I want to say Chipotle. Chipola. They advanced to the tournament quarterfinals for the first time since 2017. They'll be in action tonight at 7:15 at the Sports Arena in Hutchinson. They'll take on Connor State. So the Hutchinson Community College Blue Dragon men's basketball team still alive. Barton County Community College men are still alive. At one point, I know they're ranked number one in the country.
Yeah, they were the number one seed here in this tournament. Yeah. So, they're alive. And the Hutch women were still playing, too. I don't know if they're... I've not checked the women's tournament to see if they're still alive or not.
So junior college basketball still going in the state of Kansas, but the Division One and Two schools all are done. Division Two championships, I think, are this week. Northwest Missouri State's usually close to getting there or winning it. Are they still alive?
I haven't even looked at the men because I know all the Kansas schools are out there. I know that the tournament that Fort Hays played in, Minnesota State won that, and they've made it all the way to the Final Four. If I recall correctly from the graphic that I saw yesterday.
I'm pulling it up right here.
Yeah, I
Oh, wow. Northwest Missouri State lost to Minnesota State 43-42. That is a low-scoring game.
There's been some games where it's like, are you going to score? It, like, even in the NCAA tournament, right? Like, where's the offense at? But that's that takes the cake there from what I've seen in the postseason so far.
Yeah, so that means that that was, looks like kind of like a region final. So the Minnesota State beat Ferris State in the quarterfinals. Nova Southeastern won in the quarterfinals. So in Division II, it's Minnesota State against West Texas A&M tomorrow afternoon. And then it is CSUSB, sounds like a flash drive, versus Nova Southeastern at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And then let's see, what do we got here? So, yeah, those are the two semifinals. So down to the final four when it comes to the Division II men's basketball tournament. So Northwest Missouri State has been eliminated in a 43-42 low-scoring affair. Very interesting. Sometimes you learn. Sometimes our listeners learn right with us, or maybe they already knew that. I don't know. Coming up in 30 seconds, K-State in focus. Plus, we'll talk some baseball, some Chiefs football, and the NBA season is winding down.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. You depend on your vehicle every day to get you where you need to go. The best way to keep it ready and avoid breakdowns is through proper maintenance. Whether it's oil, fluids, filters, spark plugs, belts, hoses, or brakes, we can help. Give yourself the peace of mind of knowing your vehicle is ready to go. For fast, friendly vehicle maintenance, call Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Find us just south of the courthouse or on the web at KieferBrothers.com.
It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Well, some bad news to report. As you already know, though, probably by now, the K-State women were eliminated in the second round of the NCAA tournament at home at Bramage Coliseum as they fell to Colorado 63-50. Colorado move on to take on Iowa in the Sweet 16 as K-State women finished a wonderful year at 26-8, finished third in the Big 12 at 13-5. They were ranked as high as number 2 in the country at one point. Then Ioka Lee got hurt, missed time, and they really were never quite the same team after that. So the K-State women will see if Ioka Lee is going to come back. They have a couple of players that didn't play very much that have entered the portal already. Heavenly Greer was one of those. Jeremiah Harris was another. Not big losses in regards to, you know, I think the future of K-State basketball on the women's side. No offense to those ladies. They have a right to go wherever they want to go and maybe get more playing time. But Ioka Lee is kind of the key. Is she going to come back or not? What do you think? You think she'll come back?
I honestly think she's going to. I have no inside information on that. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's not one of those players that's in a hurry to get to the WNBA because she is still doing school stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think working toward another degree at K-State because she's already graduated. Mm-hmm. And I think last year she graduated. So she's doing some postgraduate stuff at K-State. And I really think that she's cool with that. That's just a gut feeling I have. Like I said, that's nothing that I have that is more inclined or informed than anybody else.
I don't have anything more than you do, but I'll tell you what I think. I think she'll be back, and a couple of reasons. One, she missed a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And two, she's not going to be a top flight pick in the WNBA.
No.
And you may say, well, how not? She's 6'6". She's a double-double machine. She's done all this great stuff at K-State. Why? And granted, she's probably not 100%, and she's a tremendous college player. I don't know if she's going to be that good of a WNBA player because, one, she's not fast. She's not that agile or quick. Mm-hmm. She's for the college game, she's fine. But we saw it against Colorado in the second round. And granted, how much was that she's not being 100% healthy, okay, because I know she isn't. But at the same time, she's going to go up against much more athletic, much taller, much quicker, much faster. And by the way, the WNBA is becoming a lot like the NBA. It is shooting threes. It is running down the floor. Now you add in Caitlin Clark to the whole mix of things. And you don't see a lot of big-bodied, slowed-down types of teams in the NBA or WNBA anymore. So we talk about the NBA not really having the true centers anymore. And, you know, like Zach Edey came back this year because 15 years ago, he'd been number one overall pick. The game has changed so much. He came back, and he's going to be National Player of the Year back-to-back years. He might lead Purdue to a national championship. I'm going to tell you right now, he's not going to be probably a top-five pick in the draft next year, despite doing all of that, because the game is different. And I think in the women's game, you already see it. You see it with Iowa. You see it with other teams. You have bigs, but they can run the floor quick. They can keep up with the tempo. They are shot blockers. They can hit the 15-foot jumper. They can run in transition. They're just, and I hate to say it because I love Ayoka Lee. I appreciate everything that she's done, but I just don't. Her game would be perfect when the WNBA started, but I don't think her game is going to translate to being a major impact player at the WNBA level. And the reason I share that information is because I think that's another reason for her to come back and play college.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. When you're talking about draft and you're talking about the next level, you got to analyze that like anybody would analyze that. She can't guard the perimeter at all at this level.
Oh, no.
And if you get to that level, she definitely can't guard the perimeter.
Dude, if you're going against Caitlin Clark and they ran pick and roll, we talked about pick and rolls recently, you just get the big that's Ayoka Lee's garden, come out and set the screen on Clark, there's no way.
Yeah, all of that. Like, you imagine her trying to guard Asia Wilson? Like, I mean, that's the comparison of who they are, of what position they play.
Right.
And so, and I know I'm going to the extreme and talking about probably the best player in the WNBA or one of the best players in the WNBA when I bring up Asia Wilson, but those are the type of centers that are playing in the league and what teams want on their team.
Right.
And so, you got to be critical when you're talking about at the next level, what would she do? And I agree with you completely. Now, again, I agree with you. I don't think she's 100% healthy. I think she can get more agile and improve in that if she comes in with a full season of getting ready and getting healthy and getting her body in the right shape to play basketball. Because it never was at all this year in the right shape to play basketball. Even when she was playing and got the chance to start playing earlier this season, it still wasn't where it needed to be as far as her shape and her condition, and it never got there. So I think maybe if you get her all the rest she needs and get her in the right spot, she could improve on that, but still not going to be the type of player that you're going to want that's going to be able to do the transition game and things like that and not be as athletic as most of those bigs. So I completely agree with you. I mean, if you watch her play, you understand that. She literally will not go past like the elbow on defense because she knows she's going to get beat off the dribble if she goes out there. And that's when shooters are left open and can make shots from the outside too. So it kind of is what it is. But at the collegiate level, her game still works if you can work around her game.
Yeah, and see, Zach Edey's game works at college level, but I don't know if it's going to translate that NBA.
Yeah.
Might be on a roster, but are you going to be a major impact player? It sounds crazy, but the game has changed that much. The K-State men, of course, their season over, 19-15, lost to Iowa in the first round of the NIT. Fenster and Cam Carter have entered the portal. There might be more coming down the line, down the pike with K-State men's basketball.
I wouldn't be surprised to see more.
Exactly. The K-State baseball team, they're doing really well in conference play. They're right atop the Big 12 standings at 5-1 under Pete Hughes. They're 17-6 overall. They've won 9 games in a row, and they were able to go on the road and sweep Houston 5-3, 6-5, 9-3. Their game last night when Nebraska canceled due to the weather. They'll play Texas, start of a 3-game set coming up tomorrow, and that'll be a good series for K-State at home. So, and the weather's supposed to warm up, so it'll be good for the fans as well. So K-State baseball, after kind of a slow start and lost to a couple of top 10 teams on the road to beef up their non-con and Big 12 play, they're doing great, and they've won 9 in a row. So good news there, the report. Our focus on K-State athletics brought to you, as always, by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Speaking of baseball, if you didn't know, which is, I still think people don't know, the Padres and Dodgers already played 3 games last week, and then went back to spring training, started America's pastime, and of course, not America, Seoul, Korea. Still bugs the heck out of me. But anywho, the Royals start their season tomorrow at 3:10. Cole Reagans will be their starter, opening day starter. And he'll take on Pablo Lopez. Game two coming up on Saturday, the Friday off. Seth Lugo against Joe Ryan. Brady Singer will be the third starter in the rotation against Bailey Ober on Sunday. And then Michael Wacha is your fourth starter. And then Alec Marsh is your fifth starter. And Jordan Lyles is in the bullpen, which I'm like all for that. And so the Royals, a lot of optimism about how good they can be this year. I know I'm excited about what they're going to look like. Their pitching looks vastly improved on paper. They look solid at some of these positions. I mean, you got Salvi at catcher. I don't know how they're going to do this whole DH first base thing. Adam Frazier can play first. They picked up in the offseason. Vinny Pascatino can play first. I would guess if Pascatino's a DH, Adam Frazier will play first. Mikel Garcia at third. Shortstop is Bobby Witt Jr., of course. He got signed long-term. Michael Massey's starting the year on the injured list with a back issue. So Adam Frazier can play second, too. I don't know who exactly is going to start at second to start the year.
Yeah, I've not done a deep enough dive yet.
Nelson Velasquez is not a great defensive outfielder, so if Vinny's playing first, he's probably your DH. Mm-hmm. And then the outfield, Kyle Isbell is probably going to be your starting center fielder. MJ Melendez is going to be one of your starters in the outfield. And let's see here. I'm for some reason, I'm forgetting. Oh, yeah, it always does that to me. Royals website changed at one point. Let's see here. Come on. Okay, so let me pull this up real quick. Freddie Fermin will be on the roster as a backup catcher. They said Salvi will probably play some first at times. Nick Lofton can play some first. Adam Frazier will be the opening day second baseman more than likely. Of course, Bobby Witt Jr. at short, Mikel Garcia at third, your outfielders. Oh, Hunter Renfro, I forgot they picked him up. Hunter Renfro, MJ Melendez, Kyle Isbell, I would guess, will be the ones that start, and Velasquez might be a DH in situations. If not, he'd be in outfield. And then Darian Blanco, who's got tremendous speed, will be a guy that comes off the bench. And Velasquez is kind of the number one option at DH if Vinny's going to play first. But remember, Vinny's come off shoulder injury. So, you know, the Royals, their lineup looks solid, although every year they seem to start really, really slow. The rotation is vastly improved, and the bullpen certainly is better.
Yeah, I hope them young guys have their bats going. That's what I'm going to say about the lineup, right?
Like Melendez, Bobby Witt Jr.,
I mean, and Velasquez, I know has some pop. We saw that last year, but some of that lineup for offense is like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it'll pick up and be where it needs to be. You hope anyway, but outside of those young guys, I know that some of these guys have proven that they have some pop every now and then, but it's like, I don't know, man. But the pitching is obviously looking much more optimistic than it was last year. So I'm going to lean on that at the beginning of the year, right? And we'll see how the offense goes. But, yeah, I think that if the young guys can pick up where they've left off and keep improvement on that, and the offense could be pretty good, too.
Yep. You can be hopeful. You always can be hopeful before the season begins.
You're always hopeful. It's something that's like, oh, these guys are they're hitting for average, but not getting any extra base hits.
Please don't start the year 1-9 or something like that. The hope is squashed immediately.
Yeah.
It has been interesting in a free agent market. Some of Scott Boras's clients are not getting the money they thought they were going to get. Jordan Montgomery is still out there until yesterday, which is crazy. Season starts tomorrow. He was outstanding last year for the Rangers and helped to win a World Series over the D-backs. He was seeking a big-time deal. Blake Snell was seeking a huge deal. Blake Snell was seeking $150 million, settled for 3 years, $62 million. Matt Chapman was wanting over $100 million. He got 3 years, $54 million. Jordan Montgomery, many people thought he could get a huge deal, maybe $100 million or so over 4 years. He's getting 1 year, $25 million. And then he has the option to opt out or opt in after year one, so he does have that control. And that's a guy that's coming off on his best year of his career. Usually you cash in big time, but not so much, which I don't know if that's a Scott Boras thing or if that's just Major League Baseball
thing. It's starting to turn into maybe a baseball thing, to where it's like, kind of like the running back market in the NFL, right? It's like we've been giving these people way too much money. We got to stop that.
The Padres, of course, are going to be very talented again, and they have a whole bunch of stars and a lot of money wrapped up. The Dodgers have a $2 billion payroll or whatever it is, but it's deferred for 5 years, the way they set that up. They added Ohtani. And then you got the D-backs, who actually went to the World Series and was a wild card. And that division is absolutely stacked. And now the D-backs just added a pretty good left-handed pitcher in Jordan Montgomery. So that's a division to watch, no question.
Oh, for sure.
And the Giants probably will be the ones that somehow slide in there.
It's like when you're not even expecting the Giants is when the Giants become the Giants. Like that's when they win, when you're just not expecting them.
Listen, I always cheer for teams that absolutely overload on their payroll. I always cheer for those teams to implode. And for many years, that was the Yankees. And the Dodgers are becoming my new Yankees. From the standpoint that I like Mookie Betts, I like Freddie Freeman, I like these guys, but they have an all-star at every position, it seems. And then they get Ohtani to add to everything, and I still don't think they're going to win it.
No.
Ohtani's not pitching this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then you got the distraction to Ohtani
and
gambling
right
now, which leads me into gambling. I don't want to talk about the Ohtani situation. I haven't researched it a ton.
I
really don't want to talk too much about that. But I have said this, and you know this. I've said this, and anybody who listens to the show on a regular basis knows I've been saying this. And now I've got national people now starting to jump on my wagon that I helped create. Because I have not heard anybody else been talking about this. I listen to a lot of sports talk here and there and traveling. And I have not heard anybody else talk about what I talked about a long way back. I say there's going to be a major scandal in sports, and it's going to be sooner than later. And I said it's going to involve probably a high-profile coach, manager, player, official, whatever the case may be. And it's already happened. It's just the NBA covered it up. It happened with their officials. Tim Donaghy took the fall, but there were more people involved than that. And people say, well, you know, sports rigged. And after you saw what happened with the Iowa women's game the other night against West Virginia, there are people that wonder, which, if you think about it, doesn't college basketball have the NCAA and the TV partners, don't they have a lot of money to lose if Caitlin Clark gets knocked out in the second round at home? Do you think there are a lot of people going to tune in to West Virginia against Colorado?
No.
No. So it behooves them to have Iowa win. There's no doubt. I mean, Caitlin Clark is the face of college women's basketball. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, some people say, well, you probably want Mahomes deep runs in the playoffs every year because you don't want him knocked out early or not make the playoffs because that'd be bad for the league. There might be something to this. But I've said for a very long time, there's going to be a huge scandal and it's going to blow your mind. And you're going to sit and go, why did such and such do that? That was so stupid. There was no need for him to do it. And here's the thing. Sometimes athletes get bored. And a lot of former athletes, you know what they end up doing? They blow their money at the casinos or gambling because that's their way to keep their competitive juices in the game. If they're not still involved in the game as a coach or a consultant, they're a former player. They've been doing this for their whole life, playing basketball, baseball, football, whatever it is, since they maybe were in Pop Warner, all the way through their NFL career, or basketball career, or baseball career, whatever the sport may be. I've talked to people that played college sports that say that that's their way of staying connected and that's their way of still being in the game, even though you're not in the game. And I've warned that the genie's out of the bottle and you're not going to be able to put it back in. And we already saw with Iowa State football players that weren't on the team this year, a couple of would-be starters for small little wagering. We've seen already a collegiate baseball manager get fired due to being involved in sports gambling. But it's going to get bigger and bigger. There's an investigation into an NBA player right now, Jonte Porter, who is a brother of Michael Porter of the Denver Nuggets. There's some irregular betting on his individual over and unders for rebounds, points. I mean, you can bet anything imaginable, ladies and gentlemen. I think a lot of people are still thinking, well, you're just betting on the winner and loser and the spread of the game. No. You're betting quarter by quarter. You're betting lines on college players. You're betting lines on pro players. You're betting all kinds of wild things. All you got to do is look at the Super Bowl and all the prop bets. So there's a lot of prop bets that coming up more and more. There's tons of entities. It's kind of like legalizing weed, right? All of a sudden you see, granted, it's not legal across the entire country. Neither is sports betting. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is more and more states legalize marijuana. More and more states legalize sports betting. Now you see a whole bunch of new companies pop up and sprout from the earth, right? Now you have more competition, but you also have more people to spread around to where all these companies may still do well. The next thing you know, you're going to these places and there's a cannabis shop. And there's a whole bunch of them. Like, whoa, where'd these come from? There's all of a sudden, boom, they're there.
There was one that was like a taco truck where I was at on my vacation.
Right. So it's the Pandora's box has been opened, and you're not going to put it back in. And we are going to see some major, and Temple's being investigated for point shaving and so forth. And there's stuff that like this happened years ago. Arizona State was a point shaving scandal investigation and everything. So we saw the Black Sox way back in the day, you know, Shoeless Joe Jackson. But this is different because it's so accessible, it's so easy to do, and there's a lot of pressure to get things right in regards to somebody puts money on you to have 10 points and you only score 7 and you have a horrible game and then all of a sudden you get threatened. Seriously, by people that you don't know because they lost their money because they were dumb enough to bet on what you were going to do in a game, even though they've never met you, study your game, or know anything about you. This is where things are going. We have it already with people. When somebody loses and the guy misses a free throw, we have death threats towards college kids, professional athletes, and everything else. Why would we be surprised if some kid doesn't live up to the prop and they over, well, his was 4.5 points and he only got 3. That guy cost me $1,000. Well, you're the idiot that bet a grand on that. But this is coming out today. NCAA President Charlie Baker says here, sports betting issues are on the rise across the country. Gee, I wonder why. With prop bets continuing to threaten the integrity of competition and leading to student athletes and professional athletes getting harassed. The NCAA has been working with states to deal with these threats, and many are responding by banning college prop bets. This week, we'll be contacting officials across the country and states that still allow these bets and ask them to join Ohio, Vermont, Maryland, and many others and remove college prop bets from all betting markets. The NCAA is drawing the line on sports betting to protect student athletes and to protect the integrity of the game. Issues across the country these last several days show there is more work to be done. Okay. The NCAA sucks so bad. Their leadership sucks. Everything that seems that they do is just questionable at best. I called this years ago. I mean, what did you think was going to happen? Like, betting is not new. There's been, you got your illegal bookies, there's betting on sports, there's been legal, you can go to Vegas and legally bet. And then, you know, once the NFL and you started expanding into Vegas and in teams in Vegas, it was like, hello, you blew the roof off the top of sports gambling in this country. Because once these professional entities got in bed with Vegas, it was, here we go. And I'm okay with legalizing sports betting in whatever state, and here's why I'm okay with it. I'm okay if you want to legalize weed in every state. I'm okay with whatever you want to legalize, to an extent. Okay? To an extent. There's always exceptions. But I'm okay if you want to legalize weed, unless somebody can prove to me that I'm highly impacted by it. I'm not saying I'm for or against it. I'm just saying I'm not going to lose sleep over it if it happens. I don't lose sleep over college prop bets being eliminated, and I don't lose sleep over the fact that there are college prop bets. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not a gambler. And see, there's the thing. That's the scary part of legalizing gambling. If you really want to gamble, you could always still gamble. But now it's easy to gamble. And so the concern about legalizing gambling, just like legalizing marijuana, is that people are going to partake in too much. It's so easily accessible, more people are going to get addicted to marijuana, which could be a gateway drug to other things, which may or may not. Some people probably is, some people probably isn't. And you know, you might have wagered on an over-under of a game. Now you're wagering on how many points in a quarter, over-under in a quarter. wagering whether this guy gets three rebounds in a game that plays college ball. You didn't see this coming, NCAA? Like, what the hell? Was your head absolutely underneath a gigantic boulder? Which I would say yes. This is the epitome of poor leadership. This is the epitome of poor leadership. And it isn't just the NCAA. It's many other people, including elected officials, because I don't like to call them leaders. It's reactive. It's always reactive, right? That's just what we do nowadays. It's reactive. Well, you know, there's been some close calls with some cargo ship hitting a bridge. Oh, well, wait till a catastrophe happens and then we'll deal with it. Well, you know, that overpass didn't pass inspection, but we'll just keep driving, let people drive on it until it collapses in Minnesota. Yeah, we just kick the can down the road. That's what we do with our government when it comes to we're going to have a government shutdown. And will we extend it? What, a few months? And we go through the same stupid crap all the time. Oh, my God, we got to avoid a government shutdown. Here's an idea. Put a plan together that lasts 4 years, just like your election cycles. Or at least two instead of a few months. But this is what we do. We're reactive instead of proactive. Instead of actually being proactive and going, okay, let's... It can't, you're going to legalize sports gambling, fine, but there can't be college prop bets. There can't be individual bets on players, okay? And if professional leagues want to do the same thing, fine. You work with whoever you got to work to try to make that happen. But we're sitting here like, well, this is threatening the integrity of competition. Where the hell you been? This has been going on for quite some time. Quite some time. Sports gambling didn't just become legal last week or when the tournament started this year. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, now Nick Wright and other people are getting on the wagon that I helped create and starting to believe there's going to be these big scandals. The Shohei Ohtani one is a pretty big possible scandal if Ohtani is lying. Okay? $4.5 million into from somehow he signed off or whatever, tied to his name with a bank account. $4.5 million, like I said, I don't know all the details. I've kind of just not wanted to deal with it for a while. But there are athletes that are getting threatened because some guy that isn't smart enough to understand that, you know what, you might lose your money by gambling on people individually instead of an actual team. Or you get all these death threats when a guy misses two free throws when they were up four and they needed five to cover. And then you see ESPN that's in bed with it. They have their own sports book now, which is a major conflict of interest. So ESPN is absolutely, I mean, you got Bad Beats with Scott Van Pelt, and I like that segment. But it's all about gambling. How many times now do you watch a sporting event and just right in the middle of the game it pops up, hey, the over-under on this quarter of play between the Pelicans and the Hornets is 28.5. Go to FanDuel and get a free app and open up a free account. You get $100 in free bets. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely everywhere. And by the way, full disclosure, I do have stock in DraftKings because I saw this coming.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I don't know if DraftKings is going to end up being the number one player in this whole market or FanDuel or whoever it is, MGM, ESPN Bet. But there's so many conflicts of interest in this whole thing. But now the NCAA, and by the way, they're not the only organization that's had their head stuck in the sand. They're not the only reactive organization or leadership and people at the top. But the statement for Charlie Baker sounds great to me if you would have put it out there right when all this started getting legalized in all these states. That would have been, at least then, would have been, that still would have been reactive. We waited and let this thing get out of hand, is what we've done.
Yeah.
I mean, when you got athletes that are not playing because of $5, $10 bets, when they can easily access. I'll tell you a story. I talked to Jeff Minnie. I covered a game for K-State earlier this year on the radio, and I was talking with him, and somehow him and I were there in the concourse at K-State at the arena well before the game because I had to record a pregame interview. And I asked him, I said, how does sports gambling affect your job now? And it was a very interesting answer. He said, there's seminars, there's various things that the NCAA does, that the schools do to try to, you know, tell these kids, listen, don't jeopardize your scholarships or getting kicked out of school or doing criminal activity or losing your scholarship or losing the opportunity to play, so forth and so on. Don't have these apps on your phone. And then here's the next step that people maybe do not realize. And I thought it was a great thing that he shared with me. He said, we tell our coaches and our staff, you cannot no matter what, even if you bet on something that has nothing to do with college basketball, you cannot have a sports betting app on your smartphone or whatever phone you have. You can't do it. He says, we've told our people that. And here's why. You may say, that seems extreme. Well, I'm married. My wife rarely touches my phone. I rarely touch her phone. But my 10-year-old uses her phone to look some things up, and she lets him do that. Okay? Now, if my wife has a sports betting app on that phone, and whatever way it's set up, there's probably a way for my 10-year-old or my 17-year-old to use her phone and place a bet. Okay? Now, I don't have it on my phone. I don't bet. I don't know all the intricacies of it. But what Coach Mitty was saying is, you could have a spouse or a friend who has access to your phone, grab your phone, maybe has a gambling habit of their own. They may place a bet on your phone with maybe your account. And guess who's in trouble?
You are.
The coach.
It's on your phone. Yeah.
It's on your phone. Next thing you know, you have a scandal. That's how easily it can happen. And so Coach Mitty was saying, we've told our staff, you cannot have any kind of sports betting app on your phone. You can't be doing it. Don't risk it. Don't even chance it. And yet, you know, there are so many people that love to push the envelope. There's the thrill of getting caught. I think it's very true. You know, there's the thrill of seeing if you can get away with it. And when you get bored, and that's what happens with rich people, I think. I don't know. I'm not a rich person. Ask Don Hyland. He can tell you all about it. But when you're a rich person, I think you have so much money in the world, you get bored. Charles Barkley gets bored. He gambles tons of money away. Phil Mickelson's lost millions of dollars in gambling. Now, are they broke? No. But there, Adrian Peterson apparently is out of money. I think he gambled, and he did some bad investments, which is still gambling in a way. It is amazing how quickly your money can disappear when you get into these situations. Now you're allowing college athletes, college kids can gamble. They can do it so quickly, as you've talked about. Boom, it's on your phone just like that. And it's legalized in so many states. And as I said, I'm okay if you want to legalize gambling. My question is, how are you going to track it? How are you going to follow it? How are you going to know various things? And it can be tracked. We know this. It's already been proven.
Pretty easy this day and age, actually.
To track it, yes. But the question is, you don't know if the wife did it. See what I'm saying?
You don't.
You don't know if the wife placed the bet or the husband placed the bet on somebody's account. Somebody steals your phone, and your account is open on your phone. They can place all kinds of bets, and you're tied to a banking account. Okay? So that can be done. Am I right?
It can. It's not as easy as you think it is, because I actually have to use my thumbprint to sign into my FanDuel account.
I'll be willing to bet you there are entities where it is easier than others.
It might be. But as far as my experience of what I have on my phone, I have to use my thumbprint to sign into my account. It's all tracked. It's based on your GPS location, because if I try to do it in Missouri, it won't let me because it's not legal in Missouri.
But I thought you could turn off your GPS location. Can't we turn that off?
You can turn it off, but you won't be able to open your app if there's not a GPS locator.
Okay.
I'm just, what I know.
That's fine. I'm just asking.
If I turn it off, it's going to be like, I have no location, so I can't let you gamble.
It won't even let you log in, probably.
All right. And mine will time out, I believe it's after like 5 minutes. So I would have to re-sign in. And if I leave the app for more than a minute, it basically makes you re-log in, and I have to do the whole thing over again. And sometimes the GPS location doesn't track right away. It'll say location not detected. We can't log you in. There are a lot of things and safe things, fail-proof things that are on there for the most part. But if you were logged in to your account and then a minute later your kid got your phone and you're still logged in, then
it could happen.
It could happen. Most of the legal stuff that you're doing on an app is pretty well regulated and tracked and understood where it's happening and what. Now, somebody could have your password and they might not have it set up for a thumbprint, and you can still get into the account. But
the bigger point I want to make is that people get bored.
Absolutely.
And gambling is a hobby for some. An addiction for others. That's when people say you legalize weed, you're making it easier for people to get addicted. We legalize alcohol, and that's how people get addicted as well.
Yeah.
And by the way, alcohol is a drug. You you have more accessibility to gambling, you have a better chance of becoming a gambling addict. I mean, the numbers just are yes.
Absolutely.
If there's easier access to stuff, there's a better chance. Now listen, if you keep buying ice cream put in the refrigerator, there's a better chance I'm going to gain weight.
Yeah.
But if you quit buying it, get my point? So
yes.
I have called and I've said this, and I really don't want to be right about this, but I feel 1,000% confident that this will happen. The only question I have is not if it's going to happen. I'm 1,000,000% confident it's going to happen. The only question I have is when. And we're already, it's actually maybe even happening sooner than I even thought, because we're already seeing various, we've seen a college baseball manager be fired because he was involved or allegedly involved. You've got the Ohtani situation now. You've got investigations into a college men's basketball program in Temple. You got an investigation in Jonte Porter, NBA basketball player. You have investigations into officials already. And now you got the college NCAA president, Charlie Baker, saying we need to stop the prop bets. And by the way, Kansas is one of the states that does allow prop bets on college players. So we'll see if Kansas joins us or not.
I got to be honest. I put one in the other night on the KU game. It was okay. Points over under for DeJuan Harris and Johnny Furphy.
Okay.
And Samford covering a 7.5 spread.
Okay.
And DeJuan Harris got fouled and got to 13 points, and it ruined my prop bet. But
see, and
it's on there.
And see, Dusty clearly then sent a message to DeJuan Harris saying, I hate you, and why didn't you cover my deal? And DeJuan Harris would come back and go, well, you're a K-State fan, so what do I owe you?
Yeah.
But that's how crazy people are.
Yeah,
they actually think that they're owed something from a team that they even cheer against. I'm just giving it as a hypothetical, but it's partly true because you placed a bet, a legal bet, about a prop bet with a college player's.
Yeah, and it was...
How hard was it to place that bet?
Not hard at all once I signed into my account.
Boom. So I've always wondered this, and this is just me. That's, again, I'm not the gambling guy. I don't have an account on FanDuel or DraftKings, but I'm all for, you know, people use DraftKings and move up the stock, and I make more money that way. That's my form of gambling. Probably a little bit better way of doing it, possibly. But I don't know all the intricacies of betting, but here's the thing that I've never fully understood. Why isn't betting on, well, let's use an example. Why isn't betting on KU Gonzaga just on the team stuff? Why isn't that good enough? Isn't that enough to bet on? And I'm telling you, you could bet on anything imaginable when it comes to the team stuff. Why do we have to have any individual stuff at all at any level of any sport? You know what I'm saying? Like, why soccer? Why do we have to bet on over-under of Ronaldo getting a goal or goal and a half or whatever? Why do we have to bet on, well, over and under on how many runs that Brady Singer's going to give up in the third game of the season? How about we just go with the over-under of runs in a baseball game or points in a game, and then you can do that for every quarter. I'm cool with that. And how about you do over-unders on three-point attempts, three-point makes as a team, free throws, assists, turnovers, any team stat? Isn't that enough? Why is that not enough to bet on? Like, why do we need a million things to bet on? I don't understand that. I do not understand. Like, we don't have enough crap to bet on in college athletics that we need a Johnny Furphy, DeJuan Harris combo meal? What the hell do we need that for? Are you going to quit gambling because that's not there, Dusty? Are you going to quit gambling because there isn't college player prop bets? Are you going to quit using your app to do things? I bet you won't. So then why do we even need it? So if we banned it, stopped it, there's still, we're not saying can't gamble. We're just saying stop gambling and then threatening people and tied to all this stuff when they're college kids, for crying out loud. They're not even pros. And by the way, if you open up a gigantic door for betting scandals by doing this with individual players now who can control, it might not hurt the team from winning or losing. I don't have to worry about point shaving. All I got to worry about is, you know what? My over-under today, I'm at the foul line, okay? Johnny Furphy's at the foul line. He has somebody he knows that has money on what you just mentioned. Johnny Furphy's at the foul line. He knows the over-under but for his points individually, okay? Let's say the over-under against Gonzaga was 6.5. Johnny Furphy's at the line, and his team's down 20, which they were. Johnny Furphy goes to the line, and he knows if he makes both, he's over 6.5, okay? He's at 5. He makes the first. Pretty easy to miss the second, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how easy it is.
I mean, the exact
That's example. How easy it is. We don't need athletes to have control of people's money based on what they actually fully, truly control, that they can easily miss a shot, okay, in a basketball game. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute. The people chose to let other people control their money by betting on that stuff. But my point is, don't allow that to even happen. The team as a whole, for the whole team to let to have point shaving scandal, you know, one guy can control that in basketball more so than any other sport. It can be kind of controlled, but you don't control the other four guys. You see my point? Like, you're going the team, there's less chance that the team is all going to be in on it. Whereas if it's an individual prop bet on James Harden for how many three-pointers he's going to attempt, think about that for a second. You know, the over-under on Harden is 10 made three-pointers. There's 1.5 seconds left in the game. Houston Rockets, or excuse me, he's on what team now? Dear God. I'm going blank. The Clippers.
The Clippers, yeah, I forgot too.
So here's another hypothetical. The Clippers are up 10, and they throw the ball in with 1 second left, and Harden chucks a 75-footer, which counts as a three-point attempt. And you had the over-under on three-point attempts from James Harden, which is an individual prop bet, is 10.5. And he has a 10 three-point attempts. Have you noticed, ladies and gentlemen, I know Dusty's noticed it, have you noticed, and it's being all like bragged about and celebrated on social media, where these last-second shots in blowout games in the pros, especially NBA, have you seen the reaction of players on the benches? They immediately know that somebody just made money or lost money. They are aware of it. Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't open yourself up to a major scandal, I don't know what does. And now we're talking individual college athletes that are a little bit naive, probably. And then on top of that, they get threatened when they actually are trying hard and try not. Some of these kids obviously don't know there's a prop bet. Johnny Furphy and DeJuan Harris might not even know there is a combo prop bet on their game against Samford. They have no idea. And then some KU fans, like, really ticked because KU had a 21-point lead, and then they almost blew it, so they didn't cover that. And they had the parlay on Furphy and Harris, and Furphy had a bad game. Well, damn, I'm going to send something to Furphy's Twitter account, or I'm going to put something out there about Furphy sucks. He's no good. Go to the NBA because he costs me money. There's no need for that. In my opinion, there is no need for individual prop bets involving players directly at any level of any sport. If you're telling me you don't have enough stuff to bet on, of course you do. They can make up stuff about what color of something you're wearing at a game. That's a prop bet, which, once again, as a player, you could control and see, you know what? If I had somebody I know plus $500 on this, I can win an easy $500 because everybody's betting that I'm going to be wearing orange tonight, and then I wear white. I mean, there's crazy prop bets out there.
Yeah, I will touch upon a couple different things if I can here.
Yeah.
The exact example of the prop bet, and I actually created the combo, right? You could pick whoever you wanted on either team, right?
Sure.
I could have picked somebody from Samford and put it in my parlay too,
yeah,
right?
But they're all individual prop bets.
The two I picked were 11.5 for Johnny Furphy, and I picked over for Johnny Furphy, and I picked under for DeJuan Harris, 11.5, right? So your absolute perfect example is DeJuan Harris goes to the free throw line and has 11 points.
There you go.
Like, right when he went to the line, he had 11 points. So I knew in that moment that if he makes this first free throw, I'm losing this parlay.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes the first free throw, so the parlay is over. But if he knows in that moment he's got 11 points and he's got something under 11.5, he can go and miss both of those free throws, keep his total to 11, and win a lot of money for somebody that he knows has a bet on him, or
and
he has some account that nobody knows about that he's got a bet on.
And it doesn't impact his team because they're down 20.
Exactly. And it makes no difference in how the game ends up.
Doesn't
and that's
hurt
why
your team.
And that's why as a bettor you're frustrated because it's like, this don't mean anything.
Right.
Just miss both of these.
Right.
But at the same time you're like, yeah, I realize that I put myself at risk by making a bet here and I'm not going to win this money because he made this free throw to mess up my parlay. But it's like, I got to be honest with you. When individual prop bets for college athletes started happening, I'm not shocked about a lot. I was actually shocked the NCAA let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you sit here and let it happen? Because I agree with you. For college sports, like, there's so much that's in that, and there's so much that they can get in trouble for, and others can get in trouble for, even more so than at the pro level. I mean, these pros are pros. They should know.
Yeah.
But college kids are college kids, right? They're still learning everything, and somebody might have something here, and now you can bet on yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I can finagle this. I mean, we've seen it before with mob bosses back in the 90s, right?
Absolutely.
With individual players being targeted and point shaving and all of that stuff. But it's like, I'm not going to, like, I could not believe it when they actually let individual prop bets be a thing for college sports. Now, I got to be honest with you. You asked the question, is it going to stop me from betting if there's not individual prop bets? It's going to slow mine down a lot. Most of the money that I've won in pro sports, and I'm not a big game. Let me put that out there. My bets are like $2 max, right? Like,
but
I don't put a lot of money.
If you place a lot of bets, you maybe not the amount, but if you place a lot of bets, then you gamble a lot.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend a lot of money to gamble a lot. You can gamble a lot by making tons of bets.
Sure. And I'm not the guy that's going to throw 100 down, but I'm going to put a $2 prop bet on. Most of mine are going to be like parlays of Derrick Henry over 16.5 yards rushing, right? Like, most of what I do is actually individual prop bets that are part of a parlay that might have a spread in it too. College wise, basketball, I've again just having some fun while we were at Nashville. Like, most of mine were just on spreads, but of when the teams. So if they take it out of college, it's not going to affect me. Like, I don't care. They can get rid of the prop bets for college athletes, but most of what I've actually done, like, most of my stuff is during football season. I really don't mess around with it after that a whole lot. But it's going to be like NFL over touch anytime touchdown scores, like, that's individual prop bet.
Right.
And so listen, I don't know why you need it, but I know a lot of people do it. And once they started it, that cat's out of the bag. Like, we're not getting,
and
I don't
NCAA,
think we're getting rid of individual
the
props.
The NCAA should have never let it happen,
absolutely.
Or fought hard to not let it happen. And the fact that they're now just addressing this when we're halfway through the NCAA tournament is absolutely ludicrous.
This is the absolute wrong time to be talking about
dear
it.
Dear Lord, where you been? I mean, it's just a horrible, horrible leadership. It's just absolutely deplorable. And if you sit here and say you always care about student athletes, which is a crock, and there's various organizations I can say that of within states in this country, and then obviously the NCAA, it is mind-blowing to me that they're just now, oh my gosh, we need to get these states together and stop the college prop bets. You didn't care until it affected you. That's what happened. Now, the integrity of the game is being questioned a little bit, and now all of a sudden you're going to circle the wagons and try to get something done. And good luck with that. Good luck with that. I hope that they do stop the college prop bets for the individual players. I agree with Dusty. I don't think there was any need for it, and it does jeopardize the integrity of the game. But it also does that still in the pros, too. I mean, whatever sport it is, whatever level it is, if you have the individual prop bets, you now as a player have way more control over money that you don't even know you how much money you have. No idea you control. You don't know the people that are betting the money on you, but you do have control, you know. You don't know specifically how much money, but you do know, I'm sure, like I said, these pro players, they're well aware when there's a 20-point game and the spread was 19 and the guy jocks up a 3 and covers the 20. It's amazing how they all know.
Yeah.
And that's how prevalent gambling's become. And you're telling me there and a few of those guys going, how could I shave a little on the side here?
Oh, yeah.
Come
for
on.
Sure.
Come on. I'm telling you, it's happening, folks. Mark it down. Stone cold clad guarantee from Wade Gershner on the Sports Ticket. There will be a gigantic, some people could argue it's already happened, but I'm talking a gigantic gambling scandal. It will rock one of the main sports at some point in time, if not multiple sports. It will pretty much, some athlete or big time coach or a group of officials are going to bring a sport to its knees for a little while. Can it recover? Perhaps. Probably so, if it's not a ton. But if it is so rampant, and all of a sudden you start finding out, boom, this person did this. Boom, this athlete did that. Ooh, this coach is involved. The referee's involved. You've got a full-blown scandal. And there is no doubt in my mind that there is some coach, and there is, and not have to be a head coach, there's no doubt in my mind there's staffers, there are assistant coaches, maybe even head coaches, officials, and players without a doubt that are betting a lot on a lot of different things and then can claim that they're not betting on the sport that they are in, right? Well, I gambled, but I didn't bet on my sport. That goes back to the old Pete Rose thing, right? It's okay I gambled, But I didn't bet. Well, I never bet. Well, I did do baseball, but I didn't bet against my team. It's like, oh, geez, just keep rationalizing until the cows come home. You know, I don't think Pete, I think Pete Rose should be judged on what he did as a player to be in the Hall of Fame, but I don't agree with a lot of the things he says. And he got busted, and he lied for years. And there's usually consequences for your actions. His consequence is he's not in the Hall of Fame. You can we can argue till the cows come home again about whether he should or shouldn't be. Should it be on the merit of his career? Should be on, should it be about he stained his reputation? He shouldn't be in until he's dead or never be in. You're going to have your opinion. You can do that. We can talk all day. That's the easy, lazy sports talk topic to bring up in the summer when there's nothing going on and your baseball team's eliminated like the Royals usually are. But the point I'm trying to make here is that there are so many moving parts to this, and there's not. To me, there's no way there's enough enforcement. There won't be enough enforcement to, you know, it'll be the little guys that usually get caught. It's no different than these colleges before NIL and happening, where colleges were paying kids money. Yeah. And what was it? The little guy got, you know, Stephen F. Austin got busted for something. And then KU and others and Duke with Zion Williamson and Arizona and others can skirt free. This is no different. You're probably going to be like, now think about this for a second. If you're, let me go back to this. If Caitlin Clark or Patrick Mahomes, those are two most well-known athletes right now.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed?
Agreed, yeah.
Okay. Well, who's the face of the NBA?
I don't even know. Okay. Is he still LeBron?
I don't know. That'll work. Okay. So LeBron.
Maybe Nikola Jokic.
If you're known by one name, then you're pretty popular. So Mahomes, LeBron, Caitlin. Okay? Those are just three examples. We can come up with many more. But if the NFL gets wind, if college basketball and TV execs get wind, the Adam Silver gets wind, and what I mean get wind is in information, that there is things pointing to LeBron affecting the integrity of the game by gambling, or Mahomes, or Clark. Those are pretty big golden goose eggs those entities have at their disposal to make money. Do you think, as I just said earlier, Iowa, did they get a better whistle the other night against West Virginia? I think they did. People, the ratings will go down. Less money will come to those that own, I think, ESPN, the NCAA tournament women's. Their ratings will go down. They will make less money, ESPN, even though they paid the rights for the women's tournament. Or the men's tournament, same thing. But the women's especially, because there's one main player, and that's Caitlin Clark. It does not make any sense. If all things are equal, if you can give a little edge to Caitlin Clark in Iowa, because that's going to make the networks more money. There's without question. If Iowa makes a deep run, they're going to make more money than if Iowa got knocked out in the first or second round. Now, apply what I'm saying to gambling. And what I just said about how the little guy gets smacked, but the big guy gets off. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes is involved in something. Caitlin Clark's involved in something. LeBron James is involved in something. Jonte Porter, who you've never heard of, is involved in the NBA, but so is LeBron. Caitlin Clark and Taryn Sides are involved.
That's actually who I was going to say. But
Caitlin Clark and Taryn Sides are gambling the same amount, doing the same exact thing. Patrick Mahomes and Blaine Gabbert are doing the exact same thing. Who do you think they're going to make an example of?
Blaine Gabbert, Taryn Sides.
It won't be the cash cows.
And Jonte Porter.
Thank you. It will not be the cash cows. And so what I'm saying is that I think it's possible you could have big time stars and athletes doing these things, and we may never know. Because you don't want that to wreck the integrity of the game. There were rumors that Jordan did it. I was not a rumor about that.
I was just going to say, you think you don't think the NBA covered,
if they covered up an officials thing, you don't think they covered up something with Jordan if he did, in fact, bet on sports, in particular basketball? I mean, you don't think David Stern was going to protect the cash cow of his league? Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you see the documentary on Tim Donaghy and the officials, you know David Stern was not beneath doing that at all. And I'd be willing to bet you Roger Goodell's not beneath doing it. Adam Silver's not beneath doing it. I'll bet you any of the main commissioners and top people are not beneath doing it. You know what? We got this person. We took care of it. And Terrence Sides, we used to support Terrence Sides. She didn't do anything wrong as far as we know, but using an example. That Kansas kid got in trouble doing that. Oh, Caitlin Clark, she'd never do that. Actually, she did, but what you don't know is they use other people as scapegoats. Happens all the time.
All the time.
Happens in real life.
Yeah. And if it would happen with Patrick Mahomes, they'd be like, go find somebody else that is doing it right now.
What do you think might be happening with Otani?
Find somebody else that's doing it right now, because you know you're talking about all the faces of the leagues, and the face of the Major League Baseball is going
Otani
through it right now.
That's true.
He is without question the face of Major League Baseball. If you had to ask, who's the dude? Who's the baseball
player?
He's
the face of baseball across the world.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Of course, where he's from.
Exactly. It's like, who's the guy in baseball? And it's Shohei Otani.
It is.
And it's not even close. Like, it's because of everything that he's done and the success and the in the way that he's done it and being dominant at a couple different things at the same time. He is the dude in baseball, and he's going through it right now.
Yes.
Like I say, we don't know all the details, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, this all gets shoved to his interpreter or whoever it is, and then somebody else in baseball, this guy's doing it on an even bigger
and
level than
drill
that was.
And
it's like, get this guy. Mm-hmm. And so we can take that spotlight off of our cash cow.
Right.
And listen, if Michael Jordan was playing in today's NBA, or if today's NBA was like it, you know, when Michael Jordan was playing, I find it pretty hard to believe. Because Michael, you talked about people getting bored, right?
He got bored.
It wasn't necessarily bored. He just liked the competitive nature of everything.
True.
He wanted to compete in everything. And if he has not a chance to compete and win and get a bet and win that and say, hey, I knew that this was gonna, I mean, I don't, you know, the book was written about all of his gambling on the golf course, right?
Right.
And so, and I don't know if all that's true. I've read the book, but it's called Michael and Me. I don't remember who wrote the book, but I don't believe maybe all of it, but I certainly believe some of it, because some of that stuff is pretty outlandish to be making up.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, like you're telling tall tales here,
right?
Making this up. And so, you know, some of the amount of funds that might have been exchanged might not be accurate, but you watch The Last Dance, you know what kind of competitor he was.
Oh, yeah.
And so, and for us, we were alive and watching him play, so we already knew what kind of competitor he was before we even watched The Last Dance. That just told us more stories about how competitive he was.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, just sit here and think Michael Jordan and – How do you get rid of that? You go find LeBradford Smith as an example from the documentary.
Or like they did with the officials, there were others involved, allegedly, and Tim Donaghy was about ready to be the whistleblower and record stuff with other guys, and they got wind of it because they paid off an attorney or a lawyer to come onto their side, switch sides, who had information. And next thing you know, you said, boo, we got to put it all on Donaghy because, you know, he's not credible because he's been caught in lies before. And boom, they dodged it. And that's exactly what they would do, all these organizations would do, if their cash cow was involved. There's
Find
no doubt in my mind.
Somebody that will either fall on the sword for you or that you can throw on that sword by yourself.
That's exactly right. That's a good way of putting it. So the NCAA, all of a sudden now, all worried about student athlete well-being and welfare. That's pretty funny. Not. The Chiefs are going for a three-peat this year. Story on CBSSports.com, which is really early to do this because there's still free agency moves, there's a draft and everything else. But as it stands right now, after the big moves in free agency, and you know, there's, you know, obviously Kirk Cousins went to the Falcons and a lot of big names moved around. CBS Sports has put together this, and they say, who's the biggest contenders to challenge the Chiefs and prevent them from getting a three-peat? And they got 11 candidates, which is a third of the league.
Yeah.
But they got deep sleepers They say the Falcons, now that they have Kirk Cousins in a wide-open division with an underrated defense. I'm like, no thanks.
No.
The Dallas Cowboys, stop, please. My ribs hurt. I don't want to laugh. The Jets, no. I don't see that either. So those are deep sleepers. I say kick them to the curb. The next three that they mention as threats to the Chiefs, the Ravens, which until the Ravens can beat the Chiefs playoffs, I say the same thing about the Bills, who are next on this list. And then the Packers, you know, the Packers are a team young, you know, maybe if you met them in the Super Bowl, they would be that team that could be a contender. I won't disagree with that, but that's a possibility. Up and coming team. The Lions, hey, why couldn't you say the Lions? They beat the Chiefs head to head last year. The Eagles, I don't know. I just don't think the Eagles are going to get back to where they were. The Texans, I truly believe, are a team to worry about. Mm-hmm. And the Bengals, if they're healthy, they're definitely a team to worry about. They have them two on the list. And the number one threat to the Chiefs three-peating, they got the Niners, which until they figure out what the rules are and actually study them ahead of time, I'm not worrying about the Niners either. They've got Mahomes versus Purdy. I'm taking Mahomes, even though Purdy played pretty well in the Super Bowl. So who do you think is the biggest challenger or threat in the AFC to the Chiefs, and then who do you think would be the biggest threat in the NFC as they're constructed now?
For me, it's all about
Bengals.
If it's all about if the team's healthy, it's the Bengals, no question. And then probably the Texans after that, based on maybe history that they haven't had against the Chiefs. I mean, there's been a lot of teams that they've all talked about over the last few years that are going to be that team that just haven't been that team. Bills and Chargers to be at the top of the list, Bengals for sure if they're healthy in the AFC. NFC, I'll probably go with the Lions right now. I don't know. There's not anybody really in the NFC that I'm just like, they pop out at me and say, yeah, this is the team that's going to knock the Chiefs out.
Okay, so here's what we did this in the playoffs. I talked about how you pick teams to move on in the playoffs, and that is you look first at the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a distinct advantage, then you should pick that team, regardless if they're not good in special teams. But if you've got a clear-cut advantage at quarterback, you should pick that team in the playoffs. And had you done that, you would have done very well in the playoffs. And obviously, Mahomes won all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's apply the same thing. Mahomes versus Jared Goff. Are we really that worried?
I'm not.
Okay, I agree. Mahomes versus Brock Purdy. No. I mean, they came close. I get that, but they still didn't get it done. Patrick Mahomes versus C.J. Stroud. Yeah, I have some concern. I think he's an up-and-coming player. They're young. They got talent. Until the Chiefs actually play the Texans, I have to say yes, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, the Bengals, I say yes. I think Mahomes is better than every quarterback in the league, obviously. But when it's Burrow and Mahomes, I think it's a lot closer. And Mahomes has lost to them before multiple times, once in the playoffs at home. So we know the Bengals have done it. So to me, they're the automatic one that you should put at the top of the list ahead of the Niners. But you know, when Jalen Hurts had a chance to beat the Chiefs head to head, didn't get it done. So when I look at these top five he's got, the Niners, I say, yeah, they're a threat, but I still come to Mahomes versus Purdy. The Bengals, yes, Burrow has beaten Mahomes, or the Bengals have beaten the Chiefs with Burrow, and Burrow's played well against the Chiefs. The Texans is the unknown, so I say yes. I keep it on the list because I don't know. And then the Eagles, we've seen this. I'm going to say no. And then the Lions, they did beat us, the Chiefs, I say us, the Chiefs, you know, week one on a Thursday with no Chris Jones and no Travis Kelce. They did beat them by 1 point. And Kadarius Toney was unfortunately on the field in that game. But if you tell me Jared Goff versus Mahomes, I'm like, dude, that's a no-brainer. Nobody's got to even think about that. You know, you have to think more about Lamar versus Mahomes or Josh Allen versus Mahomes than you do Jared Goff versus Mahomes, in my opinion. But
and then they're the two. Those are two examples of dudes that haven't done it yet.
Right.
Like Joe Burrow has, right?
Right. Joe Burrow's the only one that's done it.
Yeah, I mean, we've been... They talk about this all the time. The Bills are always at the top of that list, right?
The only two guys that have done it is Tom Brady and Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Against Mahomes.
It's hard to do. And so those are the only two that have done it, right?
Like,
whether that be at the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship level, those are the two. And so, you know, Josh Allen had his chance, but Mm-hmm. Gave him 13 seconds and shouldn't have done it, right?
Had a chance at home this year, didn't get it done.
Yeah, and absolutely. And Lamar had a chance at home.
The Ravens are the Lamar's better team overall, probably. Didn't get it done at home. So I don't think I can sit there and say they're major threats. I mean, I know they're threats, but it comes down to a one-game winner-take-all, no matter where it's at.
Who
whether
you
it's
picking,
Baltimore
like
or Kansas City, I'm taking Mahomes over Lamar. I'm taking Mahomes over Josh Allen, and I think Lamar and Josh Allen are great players. I'm taking Mahomes over Jalen Hurts. I'm taking Mahomes over Brock Purdy. I'm taking Mahomes over Jared Goff. Honestly, the only two guys that I'm even worried about is C.J. Stroud, because he's, I think, maybe going to be a guy that's going to be around for a long time. I think he's built different. I think he's a unique individual. Having said that, I have no body of work to go off of in regards to them playing the Chiefs, but I do with the Bengals. So to me, that's the only two.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's... Listen,
it sure as hell isn't Dak Prescott and the Cowboys.
No,
or Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
I say this because it just seems insane, but this run of every year to the AFC Championship is going to end at some point.
Sure,
right? But it hasn't yet. So you go with what you know, and I've always been the person that when I see it, that's when I believe it, and I've not seen it from anybody else, but this is not 100%. He's going to lose to one of these quarterbacks at some point that we say, I'm not worried about him right now because it's not happened, but when it happens, it'll happen. And
Tom Brady lost to Nick Foles in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is at this point. It's like...
He lost to Eli Manning twice.
These are the people we've lost to. These are the ones we haven't, and the list is pretty long of the ones we haven't.
There's only one active quarterback that's beaten the Chiefs in the playoffs. Joe Burrow.
That's it.
With Mahomes at quarterback.
Yeah.
And that took a horrible second half by Mahomes. ill-conceived play before halftime, wasting 3 points. A lot of things had to go right for the Bengals to win that game. But they did. And then people think Burrow from Cincinnati, they're like, Burrow's better than everybody. I'm like, oh, okay, dude, whatever you want to say. The NBA season is winding down. We close with the NBA. The Lakers were down big, and they came back in double overtime. No lead is safe in the NBA anymore. None.
No.
None whatsoever. But I want to take a look at the standings real quick, because the regular season is winding down. And in the East, the Celtics are 11 games better than the Bucks. I don't think I've seen this big of a discrepancy between the 1-2 in a conference since the Bulls won 72 and the Warriors won 73. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing that there's a whole bunch of teams that are very similar record-wise. The Bucks are the 2, Cleveland's a 3, the Knicks are a 4, the Magic are a 5. They've really improved this year. The Pacers are fun to watch but don't play defense. They're 6. Heat to 7. The Sixers 8 without Embiid. The Bulls are 9. The Hawks are at 10, so that's the last play-in spot. And then it looks like the top 10 are already decided in the East, because then they got the Nets way behind. By the way, the Pistons are on fire. They're 12-60. Remember when they lost 28 in a row or whatever it was? So the Celtics are clearly the best team in the East record-wise, but just blew a 30-point lead against the Hawks, who, by the way, Trae Young did not play in that game.
Yeah.
And Tatum did.
That's another thing that's interesting about that Celtics situation is, like, what effort leads are they putting in here at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. They've already wrapped up the number one seed in the East. So
right.
It's like, what's the effort that they have there?
And do you think the Bucks are really worried about having to go steal one
No.
in Boston? They've done it before. So it's all about getting healthy, ready for the playoffs. This is just like the Lakers. They don't worry about being a top 2 or 3 seed. It's just like, let's just get in. We'd like to avoid the play-in if we can, but we'll get in. And look what they did last year. Went to the Western Conference Finals, got healthy at the right time, AD and LeBron. And that's what these older veteran teams, Giannis and Damian Lillard, be the same way for the Bucks. All you got by working so hard for 82 games, all you got was one extra game at your house. All you got to do is hold serve at our place and beat you once there, and we win the series.
Yeah.
In the West, the Nuggets have a half-game lead over the Thunder. The Thunder, their 8th 50-win season last 15 years. Goes back to Durant, Westbrook, and Harden, all those guys. Pretty impressive how quickly Thunder have turned around. Timberwolves are a game and a half out of the 1 seed. They're the 3 seed in the West, and Karl Anthony Towns has been hurt, so they've slid off just slightly. Clippers are number 4. With Harden, I just can't take them seriously. Pelicans are at 5. The Mavericks are at 6. The Kings are at 7. Remember, they were up-and-coming team.
Mm-hmm.
And the Suns are 8. The Lakers are 9, and the Warriors are 10. The Warriors have a 1-game lead over the Rockets for the final play-in spot. So think about that for a second. Steph Curry and the Warriors are barely in the play-in tournament. The Lakers are the 9 seed with AD and LeBron. They would have to play, if the season ended today, the Lakers would have to beat the Suns in Phoenix. LeBron and AD would have to beat Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal in a play-in game. Remember when all these people said the Suns are a gigantic threat to win the title? The Lakers, the Suns and Lakers, are, along with the Nuggets, are the three biggest teams that are going to win the West. And you got two of them that have to play their way into an 18 bracket. Granted, they're probably like, well, whatever. We can win a play-in game. We'll be fine. But now, when you play each other, that's right now. The Suns and Lakers would be, the winner would move on to the bracket of eight, and the loser be done. One game situation in Phoenix. How about that? And yeah. Guess what? The Warriors have to play the Kings in Sacramento, and we know the Warriors beat the Kings in seven games last year in a series. Some amazing matchups that you'd have in the first round of the NBA playoffs, let alone just like the play-in games. You're talking some big-time weight there. LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, all three of them are the bottom three seeds of the 10-team field for the playoffs. Nuggets are one. Thunder and Timberwolves up and coming. Clippers have responded after a tough start with Harden. Pelicans are young and coming. Mavericks are flashy with Kyrie and Doncic. The Kings are young and they're up and coming. And then you got the Suns are older, and the Lakers are definitely older, and the Warriors are definitely older. And those three are 8, 9, and 10. Are they just sandbagging until we get into this thing?
I don't think so.
Do you think
the Suns, maybe?
Do you think the of the Suns, Lakers, Warriors, do you think any of those are a serious threat to win it all?
The Suns would be the only team that with KD there and like all that, then Booker, like those, the Suns are the only team that I take out of the teams that are in the play-in.
I don't think the Warriors are.
No.
The Lakers, I'm kind of in between a little bit. I saw their run last year. But yeah, it's interesting. The West is, you know, once again, seems to be the more loaded conference, and you got some stars that are just trying to get their team in the play-in tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of sit here and go, I really wish there was no play-in tournament. Then they'd both be out. But the NBA loves it because that gives a better chance for
LA to stay relevant and have two LA teams in the playoffs.
Why do you think the NBA would, you know, let's say it comes down to Warriors and Rockets, they play each other. What do you think is going to get the calls? Maybe. I'm thinking people want to watch Steph instead of Fred VanVleet. And yeah. I like Fred VanVleet. He plays with the Rockets now, former Shocker. So there you have it. So I guess gamble until your dreams come true. Just don't yell at me.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.